Hello and welcome
Hello, guys.
to the Toddcast. It is the time where we cast Tods to the world and only Tods to the world and pray that the Tod God will find mercy upon us all.
Wow, that's deep.
Sorry, I was catching up on the boys before we got on here, and the new episode is all about how they make Homelander pretty much like a god, and the church
Period.
they do a like the Church of America, and Homelander's their Jesus. It's bad. But there are some really great moments in there, including like Annie meeting her dad and stuff. So it was a good time. I still have to watch the new Daredevil yet, but I will say so I'm now into season. I just finished season three of Superman and Lois, and holy crap, is that show so good? Like, I'm just like, why did I not watch this more when it first came out? Because I know there was like a little bit of a delay when the first after the first like four episodes, like there was like a small hiatus due to COVID stuff, but I just never went back to it. And man, do I wish I would have stayed with it because it is so good. In fact, there's some really killer moments of the last episode in the third season where he's starting to fight Doomsday, because Doomsday is the whole last season. And like there are multiple times where it is basically the comic cover, like as a scene, like depending on which book. But it's really, really, really good. Like, I can't believe how good this show is. Oh, sorry. And one of my favorite characters of all time, even though it's super random, gets a live action performance of Onomatopoeia. So, Onomatopoeia as the villain, like the one Kevin Smith created, that does like in the books only speaks in onomatopoeia, but in this the powers of onomatopoeia are a little better fleshed out, and it's a woman this time in the comics or in the show, so she'll make the sounds of a machine gun, and you'll see bullet holes flying out of the guy, but there's no actual bullets, and that's like how they die. It was kind of interesting. I dug it a lot. I thought it was cool. But I've never been this interested in a Superman TV show.
I kind of burned out on the Superman TV show because I used to watch them as a kid. It's there was the one, I want to say early 90s one. It used to be on like random channel 13 in the middle of the afternoon on a weekend.
Are you talking about Superboy? Because there was a Superboy show around then.
No, I never
Because
watched Superboy. It was
the only Superman TV shows were Lois and Clark, this new one, and then the old George Reeve one. And that's it. Live action.
this was Superman because he was an adult, obviously. I just can't recall. I was so young, and it was such a long time ago, but I remember it being bef just before Lois and Clark came out, and then I watched Lois and Clark, and that was. There were good parts about that series, and then it got convoluted as can be, and it was one of those series. It's like, okay, it was what it was for the 90s, is the way I would put it.
So the
And
Superboy
then I'm like,
series
yeah, we're
ran
kind
from
of done.
88 to 92. Okay.
Okay.
Then Lois and Clark. Lois and Clark then started in 93. So you are thinking about Superboy. So. And there was a great episode of that Superboy TV show where Danny DeVito plays Metallo, and it's just amazing. And like Mixel Plick was on that show. Like it was actually very good. The Superboy show, because I remember watching that too. So,
Yeah, wasn't Lois like a redhead? Like
I don't know that it was actually
the
Lois.
actress who played her was a redhead, I
I don't know that
believe.
it was actually Lois, though. I think it was Lana.
Or it was a,
It was Lana
it
Lang.
was Lana Lang. Okay, I knew it was a, I knew it was like someone that wasn't Lois Lane, like true Lois Lane. But
Well,
she
yeah.
was basically Lois Lane in that series. It was just, you saw the dynamic was the same.
Yeah, I mean that was the same when, like, in the Superboy comics, and even in the old a lot of the old adventure comics and the action comics, when it was Superboy, when he's in Smallville, his Smallville high school girlfriend was Lana Lang, and Lana's actually in the new one too. She was in Smallville, the TV show, as well, because if you remember,
Yeah.
like, he dates her for like the first 5 seasons, and then Lois comes in, and then he dates her. But yeah, the lady that played Lana was Stacy Hajduk. She was on a lot of random stuff, like Crossing Jordan, CSI, ER, X-Files, Charmed. And then she went on to do, like, it looks like, oh, she was on Melrose Place for a while. And then it looks like she went on to be on The Young and the Restless. And she's, like, still on The Young and the Restless. Oh, she was on True Blood for a bit. But she's been on 225 episodes of The Young and the Restless. So that's a long time. So, but
Yeah.
yeah. It's kind of cool though. Like I just, like I said, I just really am really digging this show, man. Like I'm really mad that I slept on this. And Doomsday
Yeah.
actually looks like Doomsday. It's weird how they got to the point where they have a Doomsday in this world. Because it's not like anything else. They basically take Bizarro and do some experimentation to try to make a cure for cancer. He can't die. Like, he just keeps, like, they kill him, and then he just, like, the cancer cells they put in him grow out. And so Lex Luthor figures out that if they keep killing him, he's just gonna get bigger and weirder and more monstrous. So he just keeps killing him over and over again with bigger and bigger weapons. Like, it's just hilarious, like the montage of him growing into what we see as Doomsday. But then,
So
like,
they did what they did in the Flash movie, where every time the reverse Flash kept coming back, he kept getting uglier looking and
yeah,
more
kind of.
insane.
But like,
Yeah.
they do it like, but the other cool part was, like, when we first met Bizarro, he was in that suit that Doomsday is wearing at the in the first issue of the comic, when you see him, where he's in that, like, almost hazmat suit type thing, and then he grows
Okay.
into being, then he grows into, like, the gray version of him with, like, the hair, still has hair, like, you see that in there too. And then he gets even bigger and green and monstrous-y at the end. Like, that's where the season 3 cuts out. So I'm gonna start season 3 here, or season 4 here probably later today. I have some stuff going on before we head to the draft party. Oh yeah, so Justin and I are going to a draft party. And Scott,
If you
and
can't tell by my
yes,
outfit.
yeah. I mean, I haven't gotten ready yet, so and then one of our friends, Jeff, and his wife are coming too. Yeah, we're going to the Draft Nation party over in North Versailles, or North Versailles, depending on how you say it. If you're from
I
Pittsburgh,
think
you
it's
say
North.
Versailles. But,
Yeah.
if you're anywhere else on the planet, you'll probably say North Versailles. And it's gonna be a good time. So, but coming up, we have Free Comic Book Day slash Comics Giveaway Day. That will be not this Saturday, but the following Saturday. So make sure you come in and check out that, and you can get books that have both of those titles on them, that are printed on them. You can have one of each
That's gonna
one.
be weird.
Yeah, it's a little rough because
It's been Free Comic Day for so long, and
well,
that they probably should have just kept it down.
Diamond owned the rights to Free Comic Book Day, and Lunar apparently got the it apparently went to Lunar. But since Lunar doesn't deal with Marvel, Dark Horse, or Ignition, and whatever else Penguin has. Those the all the non DC and Image stuff say comic giveaway day. So I don't know. It doesn't really matter because it's all the same stuff and people just come out to get free books anyway. But whatever. So I dig it. I'm excited for it. And then the next month is the con. We're 40 some days away. Did you get your ticket yet? Come on. So.
Was gonna say I did I just yesterday pretty much got everybody on my list of
Yeah, me too.
places that I did. I think the only thing I was gonna ask is, do you want me to do the mail-in ones, or did you already do all the mail-in ones?
I don't know what you're talking about, so we'll talk about it at the end of the show, after the show's over.
Okay.
So make a note so you remember to talk to me about that, because I don't know what you're talking about. Anyway.
Well,
So.
getting back to DC released a mini trailer for Clayface late yesterday. It looks gross and horror-esque, which for Clayface is spot on. I don't know if they're going to involve Batman in any way, shape, or form. They didn't show anything along that. The only thing that you see related to Gotham is there's a scene of him, of his shadow slinking around, and you see a police car that says Gotham Police on the side of it. But other than that, it looks pretty interesting. Shout out to DC there for taking a villain that's not the Joker or the Penguin and doing something different, because we've never had Clayface other than what, animated series
No,
versions.
we had one live action. It was in Birds of Prey.
No, I didn't watch
One
Birds of Prey, but that would explain it.
episode of Birds of Prey, and it was pretty. I liked that show too. That was a very good show. Back in the old WB days, before it was CW, and now it's nothing. It's just part of HBO. So, yeah.
Paramount Plus.
No, not Paramount. It's well,
Aren't they
no.
together now?
No. No, HBO still has all
Okay.
that stuff. So,
Okay.
well, HBO is Warner Brothers. Warner Brothers, I don't think got bought by Paramount. I think it got bought by somebody else. Anyway, yeah. Either way,
Lord
it was a fun
knows.
show. You should check it out. Check out Birds of Prey. I actually have it on DVD because I thought it was that good back in the day. Also, I wanted to watch it before
I see
streaming.
more people buying DVDs
Yeah.
nowadays because they're getting frustrated with the streaming stuff, which I completely understand that. I still keep some of my favorite like shows on DVD because I can pop in a DVD. It's not going to hurt me. Let that sucker run.
I mean, I still have all the Marvel movies up through Endgame on DVD or Blu-ray. I have all of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, all of Smallville, a bunch of other random movies, Reservoir Dogs Director's Cut, which was the first movie my wife and I ever watched together.
There you go.
You know, right? Super romantic.
Yeah, nothing like the bleeding in the back seat crying, going, "Oh, I'm bleeding, I'm dying, I'm dying."
No. You're thinking of. Oh, no. You're right. That was
Yeah,
that.
it was Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I was like, are you thinking of Pulp Fiction? Because that also happened in Pulp Fiction.
Well, there was a car scene, but there wasn't like, "Oh, I'm dying." It was just boom, the head explodes, and that's all you see.
No. Because like John Travolta's character is in the back, in Pulp Fiction, and like, didn't he get like
No,
shot?
he's no him and him and his partner were in the front, and the guy that they brought back from the apartment was in the back. And
Oh,
remember, they
that's
hit the
right.
bump,
You're right. Okay,
and
I got it. Yep.
his head
There we go.
exploded, and that was the whole scene for the next part of Pulp Fiction, was them cleaning the car. And what
Right.
was it, was it the Buffy situation that they call it? Was her name Buffy?
don't
or
remember.
Tiffany. It was a female thing, but they called it the Buffy situation, where it was cleaning out the car, getting the car out, getting them cleaned up so they didn't look suspicious for killing someone.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, but yeah, it's we're starting to see a lot of comic news and stuff gearing up here. I did see the leakage on YouTube that someone leaked of the Avengers, new Avengers, or at least the supposed story. I'm not gonna watch it, but I know it's out there because it pops up on my feed for comic stuff on YouTube. So we'll see if any of that is true when the movie actually shows up, or when they actually officially reveal a trailer, which we're still waiting for.
Right. Yeah.
But we'll see how it goes.
Also, remember the warehouse is now open again. Apparently, there was a good amount of people that came up for the warehouse sale last week.
And people have been asking about it.
Every Saturday.
Yeah.
11 to 6 every Saturday. It started back up last weekend. Also, thanks to everybody who came out to the show in Monroeville. It was a lot of fun. Trying to think.
I think Watchers. There's more than just the draft happening this weekend. I know there's what, two card shows going on?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And the Penguins are playing in playoffs out of town. And I swear to God, yeah, if you fuck the rest of this up, I'm going to be really mad. So they're down.
I have no hope. It's 3-0, behind 3-0. I think it's. You should just be happy they made the playoffs again.
Oh, I am. I am. Trust me, I am. I'm happy we made the playoffs. I'm just mad that, I'll be mad if we get out of there like that. So,
yeah.
But yeah. All right. So, I guess we should talk comics now.
Yeah. I mean, we could talk about the Pirates, but it's a little soon yet.
No. No, I'd rather not jinx that. Like it all. So, all right. My first book is Green Lantern 34. This was interesting because, like, it starts out with a Kyle story. Really digging the new suit. And he takes, he basically has to, re-imprison Gridlock. So he has a big fight with Gridlock. Because Gridlock escaped from a science cell on Oa. And it's really funny because there's, like, newscasters in a helicopter, and they watch Kyle, like, hit this dude. And the guy's like, "Oh my word, a devastating blow by the Green Lantern." Like, it's, they do, like, play-by-play. It's pretty funny. And then basically he has to try to find a job. And him and Odyssey are walking around trying to find a job. And this movie producer offers her a job. And as being in the star of this movie. And, you know, when they come to ask for how much money is it going to be, he's like, "Well, this is what I'll pay you." And she looks at it, and shows to Kyle and goes, "Is that a lot?" And he goes, "Yeah." And she just goes, "Put another zero at the end." And he's like, "You drive a hard bargain." And he does it. And it's like, and Kyle's just like, "What the fuck?" Because he's, like, pretending to be her bodyguard for it. So that was kind of fun. Meanwhile, Hal and Zaina are, or Jaina are still in space. And Hal gets weirdly magnetically pulled to where all of the Guardians are hiding. And they basically bitch him out to be like, what you're hunting right now is bad. You're going to destroy the universe. And he's like, "No, the Book of Oa showed me something. I need to follow it." So, like, a big fight / chase ensues. And the, like, a grenade goes off to save them. And Hal's like, "Thanks for the save, whoever you are." and it's Toby Y2K, the last son of Earth. That's the guy's name. We'll see how that goes. Overall, this was kind of just a meh kind of issue. Kind of felt like very mid story, kind of not super awesome. Anything really going on? I mean, the fight with Kyle was pretty good, but everything else was kind of meh. So because they're in California, I'm using Rob Zombie's "Going to California" as my song for this one.
Nice. All right. I was looking for books, and I saw this one. It looked interesting. Corpse Night number one. Image. Is very medieval. It starts off with a father and a daughter at a gravesite of their mother. She apparently died during birth. This is all taking place during the 1400s in France. So we're talking medieval knight era. And the father is taking care of his daughter, just a merchant, and it seems like there's a epidemic of children going missing. So the father is showing his daughter how to hunt using a bow. She gets frustrated. And then her father starts telling her the story of Joan of Arc and how, you know, how much of a warrior she was. And she was so connected to God that she prayed over a child that came back to life. And he tells her, you know, with enough faith, nothing is impossible. You just have to trust in God. And as the father continues to train her daughter, he hears something in the woods. He goes for his sword. And he gets shot, but with several arrows, and he manages to get his daughter on their horse and gets her to run. The father is obviously murdered. The child comes back, and it's the typical, you know, she buries her father beside her mother, and you see her working the fields to earn money. Even the villagers are asked, couldn't your father make it today? And she's like, yeah, maybe next time. And she gets a coin. She gets paid for it, for the wares. And the knight that murdered her father just so happens to run into her. It seems like the knight that killed her and his two companions, or no, three companions here, like to murder and pillage poor families. And the evil knight likes to do things to little girls, apparently, if you get my drift. Well, she's sitting there. She's at the grave sites of her mother and father, and she's praying. Well, as she prays, you see a hand out of the grave, her father's grave. And then the zombie ends up, is killed, but, starts killing the, companions of the the evil guys, and they're trying to figure out how the heck this guy came back to life. And the one companion who was like, she summoned him through prayer. And that's when the girl, they're getting her to call off the thing, or they'll kill her. And she's like, that's my dad's sword. You killed him. You took his sword. That's when the zombie pretty much just takes care of them. And that's where you realize that she summoned him to be her protector. She adorns him in the knight's outfit, and they're going to go find Joan of Arc, and that is the end of the book. It's actually really well done. I love the art. I like the premise. It's well written.
Well, it's written by the guys who created The Conjuring.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, there's even a passage at the end of the book here, writing about how they did the Nun too. And they were actually working on the book during this time period. So they figured that this would be a good thing to get started, and how they got Matthew Roberts, who did the Creature from the Black Lagoon and Manifest Destiny, and he's doing the art. So of course it's very nicely done. I'm trying to figure out the best zombie song in my head that isn't from Rob Zombie. Actually, there's just any song by Cannibal Corpse. Let's do that. That'll
You don't want to go with Neon Knights? Come on, man.
Could, but I figured I was a little spot on there. Do
It's
something a little different.
all good.
And some of the variants look really nice too.
That's awesome. All
I
right.
like the one where they're ripping on I Hate Fairyland, and that it's called I Hate Team Ups.
Yeah.
That one was pretty funny.
All right, my next book is called In Your Skin by Aditya Bhadekar and Soam. This book is about this girl who's obsessed with a Bollywood actress. Like she knows all of her moves, she knows all of her like all of her movies and her friend kind of hooks her up with a way to meet her. So when the meet goes badly because she starts freaking out because she thought she was gonna have a private meeting here and ended up being a private panel, she kind of freaks out and breaks into the lot and goes to meet her. Like this after the friend did this favor for her, but like they ended up like she's like, oh no, I'll fuck the shit out of you to do this. So it was like a weird, you like using of someone there for that. So anyway, she goes to the panel. At the panel, she gets kicked out of it, but at the panel that actress then says she's not doing any more movies. Like this next movie will be her last one. So she goes to meet her in the lot at her trailer, and the actress is like, no, like that's not how that contest was supposed to be. So she like kind of pushes her into the trailer, and later like haul like you see the actress hauling out the body of the girl. But what you actually find out at the end of the book is that she actually has switched skins with this person. So her skin is now on the actress, and the actress's skin is now on her. So it's super creepy and kind of weird. And I
Is
really
it like
kind of dig it.
magical, or does she like, is it like a magical thing?
I don't know yet. Like that's where we're at. We don't really know yet. But it was very good. It kind of there were moments where it felt like it was almost gonna kind of go way left field, and then you're like, then it kind of circled back. So it did very good. And the art is fantastic. It reminds me a lot of The Beauty, like that kind of vibe to it, where it's
Okay.
like horror sci-fi type thing. I kind of dig that. So yeah, I thought it was good. The art, like I said, the art's fantastic. I don't know if I'll continue reading it just because like I don't really care too much for the premise, but I thought the writing was very, very good. And because it's I'll probably never get to use this song ever again for anything I'm using, and it's very fitting. I'm using whole celebrity skin.
All right, we have Diablo, The Dawn of Hatred, number one. It's been a while since we've
Colin
had a
Hoover.
Diablo comic book. I'm a sucker for Diablo and World of Warcraft and all the Blizzard titles because I played the games. So as soon as I saw this, I had to pick it up and read it. It basically follows a premise of a basically a, I guess you could call him a preacher, and he's in this village and he is preaching like the light over darkness, and how turn the other cheek, like basically Jesus type teachings. And there is an individual among them that he just kind of doesn't trust this. This is basically our main character here. He's a barbarian, and they're in the my pronunciation is going to be horrible because it's been forever since I played it. Arrakt Mountains, which is where all the barbarians are from, if you've played the game of Diablo. And even one of his, I don't know if it's his sister or mother, they're not really specifying on it, is, well, he healed me, so there has to be something what he is saying is true. And he just kind of goes away, and everybody, he just stands guard while the village is doing its thing. He is approached by a woman here, and they have a discussion about the faith, like, and or a believer, and he's like, I don't believe in that kind of thing. I believe in my people, and he's like, my belief is in myself and guarding this village. And the woman was like, well, that's admirable. And she's like, it depends on the cause too. Yeah, they get in a deep philosophical discussion. While this is all going on, the village is attacked by a bunch of hoarded guys. They're basically just slaughtering the villagers. They're after the prophet, obviously. The village is trying to protect him directly, and the barbarian is coming to aid, and he pretty much takes care of all of these guys pretty much pretty easily. Except they save the one because the prophet is like, say, he's like, I don't want any more blood spilled on my account. He's like, obviously, so the man has been defeated. And they're like, they're talking about, you know, there doesn't need to be any blood. And his is like, this man is a murderer. He's like, he killed my people. And he's like, the prophet's like, this is not your decision. And he's like, I will take care of this my way. And the prophet touches the barbarian, and you see the scenarios that the barbarian went through, him taking on demons, him hunting, him with a wife and child. And that was the power of the prophet, is the other paths apparently he could take. And he's like, but what do we do with this guy? He's like, my people, my friends. And the prophet's like, we will deal with it in a better way. Meanwhile, they keep the one guy tied up, and he's assuming that this person is his ally, and this person is like, I am not. They're like, I am in my own mission, and the other person reveals themselves to be the young lady who talked to the barbarian to begin with. And you're like, you just made my job more difficult. About retrieving the prophet with all these people in the way, it won't be a bloodless endeavor, and that is the end of the book. I like this. I like these standalone stories in Diablo, because you never really get, like, it's an easy game to get caught up in, and usually it's, you know, just kill Diablo and the world is saved, and it's not as easy as that. As far as music goes, to go with Diablo, there's so many metal songs that could go with this. Let's go with Iron Maiden, Power Slave.
There you go.
I think that's where this is going. We will see. I'm looking forward to see where this series goes, though.
So is all of the art like the cover? Like, is that a good representation of the art inside the book as well?
The art in the book's a little bit more detailed.
Okay. Because I was like, the cover doesn't really sell it for me. So
it's the cover is not the best cover. I did see a bunch of the variants that they did for this. Some of the variants are way better.
Okay. All right, cool.
Yeah. I was going to say, if you're going to go for a better cover, cover B looks way better.
Okay. Well, I screwed up the last two again, so you have to do your next book again.
Okay.
My bad.
Wolverine 19. We last left off with Wolverine battling Hercules, who's been taken over by the Antinantium, and they are stopped by Athena, and she has driven out the Antinantium influence over Hercules, and she talks them down as she, you know, kind of gives them a talking to about, you know, because of your battle, you know, look at all these poor souls that have to rebuild and everything. And, you know, everybody's just kind of dogpiling on Wolverine, saying, you know, hey, that's this, that, and the other, it's all your fault. And Silver Sable sticks up for her man, basically saying, hey, he saved you guys. He's like, he's been training you. He's been teaching you how to survive in this world that hates mutants, and this is how you repay him. And Wolverine's like, well, it is my fault because trouble does tend to follow me. We have to, the ultimate goal is him and Hercules go to take care of the adamantine, problem here. And Athena basically kind of guides them to where all the trouble is here. Apparently in China, this is where they're going. And you see a golden clad warrior basically just ripping apart soldiers left and right. And of course, bullets don't do anything. He's destroying a development facility, whatever you want to make out of that. And here comes Hercules and Wolverine going after the, doesn't name the individual here, just the golden clad warrior, I guess we'll call him. And he basically takes out Hercules with one blow, which is impressive considering the how strong Hercules is. That's where Wolverine starts his thing. He gets stabbed with a trident because this warrior has a trident. He really does beat on Wolverine. They think they have him down. And he comes around and he actually, Wolverine tries to hit him and his bones just shatter in his ch in the chest piece area. But not only does it shatter, you actually see the metal and Wolverine's claws disappear, and you just see his regular bone claws again. And he gets stabbed with this warrior's version of metal, and Wolverine's sitting there just bleeding out, and Hercules just kind of laying there defeated, and that is the end of this issue. I'm not really a big fan of this adamantine crap. I get where they're trying to find something to deal with, but the art's good. The writing is generally fine. I just don't like the premise of this adamantine. I thought they were done with it. Apparently they're trying, that's going to be the big bad throughout the whole volume here of this Wolverine. I'm trying to figure out a good song here. How about Gold Dust Woman? I know there's not a woman in here, but Gold Dust seems to be a good thing with the golden clad warrior and the golden clad adamantine. It fits.
Fair enough. All right, my last book, speaking of golden, The Century number 2. So this starts out where Century and Reed Richards are looking at the guy that turned to crystal, and they're talking about stuff, and Reed's basically like, "Bobby, don't lie to me. Like, stop bullshitting me." And he's like, "What the hell's wrong with you?" And he's like, "My dog has cancer and he's gonna die." And he's like, "Oh, that totally sucks." So then you see like somebody is dying. Wilson Fisk is dying. He like is completely beat up and is gonna die. So the Hulk during this whole thing somehow got infected by these crystals. So the Sentry and his watchdog, that's his name, watchdog, go to the Hulk. They kind of have to fight with him a little bit to get him to kind of fight the crystal stuff. But the crystal stuff does finally come out of him. And Hulk calls him Golden Man. which is what he used to call him back in the day. It's after that, it's just a it's more Hulk learning about the dog dying, being sad, and then Sentry's wife comes in and wants to talk to his husband or to her husband, and the computer won't let her or know what's going on. And at the very end of the book, basically, they're both there talking about, trying to save the dog, and he's like, I can't play God and save the dog. He kind of says to himself, I think I've been lying to myself the whole time. I don't think I'm Bob anymore. I think I'm just the void. And that's how the issue ends. So kind of cool to me. I would like this book a lot more if I like the art more, but the art is just not doing it for me. It's like very dark and sketchy, and it's just not. I don't know. I want it to be slightly more polished or slightly clearer, either way. Like just personally, I think the writing's fantastic. It's just I just can't get into the art that's on here. Oh man, what song to go with this? God. Well, since Sentry is kind of immortal and his dog's about to die, we're going with Sabbath After Forever. That's what I'm going with for that. Cool. All right. Well, other than that, oh, did you see other than that, the only other trailer of mention that should have been mentioned at the beginning and we didn't, Super Troopers 3. So
That's fantastic. I didn't know if you wanted to mention that because I know Super Troopers is kind of one of those movies that it's people either love it or they despise it. There's no middle ground. It's either love it or hate it. I'm a lover of it. I
too.
love Super Troopers. I love the whole crew. Like all those guys are
The
fun.
Broken Lizard guys are great.
I love the majority of their movie. There are certain movies I'm like, yeah, but I
Yeah,
love
I think
that.
like
I love the
Puddlejumper and Slammin' Salmon are probably my two least favorite, but the rest are
Those are
really
the
good.
ones that Yeah, Beer Fest is one of my all-time go-tos that I got to watch at least once a year, just because it is awesome.
Well, I think the first movie I saw at the Pittsburgh Mills was Club Dread. I think
There you go.
so. It was either Club Dread or Beer Fest. It was one of the two. But it was awesome. Like,
Yeah.
I
Still
love.
waiting for Potfest. I kind of wish they would
Yeah,
have did Potfest
I
too,
think they said
especially with
that's the
Willie
next
Nelson.
one, I think, but Super Troopers 2 wasn't suit. Wasn't as good as one, but it was basically the
Yeah.
same plot. At least this time they're
Yeah.
doing something different with it. I love the scene like in the trailer where so basically the plot this time is Farva is gonna marry Ramrod's or Ramathorn's niece, right? His niece. So Ramathorn's trying to figure out a way to stop the wedding. And there's a scene where Ramathorn opens the door and it's like a delivery guy and he's like, extra short, extra wide condoms for a Farva. And he's like, God damn it. Farva's like, sweet, they're here. And I'm just like, oh God. So,
Oh my.
I think it's hilarious. Actually, I really like the show they did where they were all like, well, half of them were on it and they were like firemen. It was like Tulsa something, I think. I forget what it was called. It was like they were a fireman, a fire company, and like the Farva
Yeah.
guy was the chief, and a couple of the other guys were in it, and they like it was very comedy. It was almost like Super Troopers, but if they were firemen and
Yeah.
not as like drug laden crazy. Like it wasn't that crazy,
Yeah.
but it was TV crazy. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I caught a couple of episodes of that. And
Yeah.
we did I totally forgot we do have one celebrity passing. And Patrick Muldoon passed away.
Oh.
Age 57.
I don't think I actually knew that. So.
Yeah, he passed away April 19th. So it wasn't, it's, it hasn't been that long ago.
Yeah,
but yeah, he had a heart attack and he passed away. For those who don't know him, he did a lot of things. He was Days of Our Lives. He was in the original Melrose Place. He was in Saved by the Bell.
Mm-hmm.
And the last, well, he did a movie with the called Deadlock, which I never saw. But the other movie he is credited for, which we are big fans of, original Starship Troopers, as the guy who got his brain sucked out, that we got to see. So our condolences to his family. Yet another guy of relatively young age at 57.
Yeah.
So, you know, condolences to his family. That sucks.
Yeah. For sure.
But yeah, that's our first celebrity death, and like, well, major celebrity death. There's always someone passing away.
No, we had one 2 weeks. We had 2 weeks ago. We had like four people. So.
Well, we were catching up though. A lot of those weren't like right away. Like, not for the last couple weeks. It's been very, like, I keep track. It's been a lot of international celebrities, but not a lot of American celebrities. So, it's, now, if you're international, yeah, go online, Google it. You will see a long list of people from, there were a couple of French actors, a couple of Bollywood people that passed away, but they were all in their 80s and 90s, so they were all, you know, it was their time, so to speak, nature-wise. Some of these are a little bit more, the American ones seem to be more guys in the younger ages, women of the younger ages, except Chuck Norris. I don't think he's dead. I think he just, he beat death out, and he's now death. So if see Chuck Norris, if you die, Chuck Norris is now death.
Chuck Norris, big scythe coming at you. Yeah, it's going to suck. So, all right, guys. Well, thanks for watching. And
he'll just make a body chop you.
Yeah, right. Just duck. You'll be fine. thanks for watching. Thanks for listening, guys. Next week, remember, we have our friend John Davis. He's going to talk about his Death Drones Kickstarter for the graphic novel. He's a local Pittsburgh creator. He's a great artist, good friend. And he'll be at Three Rivers Comic Con, so make sure you check that out. Also, the guys from Comicsburg will be on sometime in May, probably right before the show, of course, because it's always our one last one. I did warn them. I said we may have to do 2 weeks out, because if it's the week before, or the Thursday before the show, I don't know how that's going to work, because we may be at the Masters of the Universe movie, depending on when we get tickets for it, which should start showing up soon. So, So thanks a lot, guys, for watching and hanging out, and we will catch you next week.
See ya.